Hello and welcome to St. Cross for our edited recorded service from Sunday, July the 24th, the sixth Sunday after Trinity. Angela offers prayers of intercession. Our reader is Malin, and I will read the Gospel and give the sermon. Our hymn towards the conclusion of the service is Lord, Teach Us How to Pray Aright, number 478, from Anglican Hymns Old and New.
This is a reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 20 to 32. Then the Lord said, "How great is the outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went towards Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." And he answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." For this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I wonder how many times in your life you have witnessed someone with a great gift or talent and thought, wow, if only I could do that. Sometimes watch our organist play the piano and think, wow, if only I could do that. I had the chance when I was a child and opted to play football instead and go playing with my mates. But my mum wanted me to learn the piano. Just think if I'd agreed to that. But it takes years of practice, doesn't it, and learning. Or perhaps there's another skill that you wish you could do. But some people just have a natural gift, don't they? A natural talent to do something. You know, and some, like a football or something, they can juggle these footballs. Yeah, they've practiced, but there's a natural talent there too. Those skills we have, the things we enjoy so often, have been influenced by others. Skills shared and passed on. And we find ourselves in the gospel today, where the disciples have been part of Jesus' life for some time now, and they have that burning desire to have a deeper knowledge of God. The disciples already knew how to pray. They were Jews. They were familiar with life in the synagogue. They would have said prayers as a family before meals. So what was Jesus offering that was new or different? Why did they need Jesus to teach them how to pray? And I think it's because they saw something so utterly unique in Jesus. A magnetic personality who transformed people's lives. And his disciples knew that all this energy in him was fueled by one source. And that was his relationship with God, his Father. Sustained by a deep prayer life. No wonder then that the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to share in this. In learning to pray, they too could become more like him and know the love, the energy, and the holiness of God's Spirit working through them. If you remember the prophet Ezekiel, who had said that through the people God had called, his holiness would be displayed through them by a new heart, a new spirit within them. That new spirit, what the disciples saw in Jesus, moved them to say, Lord, teach us to pray. And though we are given the words of the Lord's Prayer, which in Luke is abbreviated, I think Jesus gave us these words of the Lord's Prayer as a framework to portray the intention of our prayers instead of specified words. For Jesus, prayer was not just a form, but a force, a power that he was utterly reliant upon. And if he was reliant on it, how much more us? Prayer was vital and influential in his life. Prayer can take many forms, But it's often difficult to find the time, the energy, or focus to engage in prayer. How often the disciples discovered through practice and persistence they could overcome these obstacles. To overcome the obstacles, there has to be a desire of wanting to learn to pray or to spend time with the Lord and to integrate prayer into their lives. To understand and deepen their understanding of God and find the words to offer. Jesus taught the disciples first and foremost to make their prayers God-centered, the glory of God's name, the advancement of God's kingdom were to be their main concerns. It's so obvious for us looking back. We know it's true. We receive it from Jesus' own teaching. The Lord's Prayer connects us to the heart of our faith and to all those who have gone before us, who have prayed it over the centuries. And yet praying these words weekly, daily, and indeed as we will in our Eucharist today, increases familiarity. I always think it's special to take a communion in a home visit, and particularly with someone whose memory has failed them or are struggling, but those words will inevitably come back. That's the importance of repetitive prayers, I think, for people like that. They can still engage in the prayers and the service because those words are ingrained in their minds. But it's a familiarity that cannot increase our knowledge. For to understand what does hallowing God's name really mean? What will it really be like when the kingdom comes? We pray for God's kingdom to come, don't we? What will it be like when God's kingdom comes in its fullness? And that desire of deepening prayerful obedience, persistence, and boldness is also revealed in that Old Testament lesson today, in the prayer of Abraham. And it is bold, isn't it? Abraham's also kind of reminding God of God's justice by saying, well, actually, the 40 matter, the 30 matter, the 20 matter, the 10 matter, and so on. Abraham was persistent. He didn't give up. He was bold before God. Can we be bold before God ourselves? The asking, the searching, the knocking we are to do belongs then in the context of the Lord's Prayer. It is the fundamental asking and seeking to make sense of our everyday lives, trying to live God's way in a tangled, confused world that wants to compromise that. And the way to overcome it comes from the asking, the searching, and the knocking. What for? The gift of the Holy Spirit, which the gospel assures us the Father will never refuse us. The disciples asked in the gospel, Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't say, teach me to pray. They said, teach us to pray. And Jesus responds, our Father in heaven. But yet on another occasion, you might remember Jesus saying, go to your room, close the door and pray to your Father in secret. So prayer is a corporate activity. We come together to pray here, and it's personal too. And whilst the gift of the Spirit can be conferred in personal devotion, there is, I believe, a greater openness and newer possibility when we come together and are of one mind in a corporate setting, to be open to the gift which can transform us and those around us. My brothers and sisters, it is the Holy Spirit, the gift that Jesus promised would be with us forever. The Holy Spirit is our counselor, our teacher, our guide. The Holy Spirit gives us courage in such difficult situations that we all face. The Holy Spirit enables us to be enfolded in the love of God. So the gospel then today challenges us, each one of us, to have a greater desire for a closer encounter with God. What can you do this week to make that possible? For unlike some of the skills I spoke of at the start of the sermon, the Spirit really is available to anyone who asks. Amen.
Let us pray for the church and for the world, and thank God for his goodness. Heavenly Father, we pray for your church throughout the world, for all clergy, pastors, readers, and pastoral workers. May all in your church be welcoming, open, and friendly. May the church be attentive to the needs of strangers and visitors. May your church throughout the world always reflect your love and guide people in the ways of peace and tolerance. We pray for churches that are struggling because of opposition, churches in areas of apathy and animosity. We remember all today who worship in secret for fear of persecution. And may your church always be open for prayer and lead people in how to pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Listening, Father, you gave us a beautiful world to live in, but we have failed to look after it. We can see the effects of climate change with heat waves and floods. Bless all who have been affected this week with fires and floods, and comfort those who have lost everything. And may each one of us play our part in looking after our world and its climate. We remember the areas of the world where there is war, thinking especially of Ukraine. We pray for peace in that troubled region, for an ending of hostility, that greed may not prevail, and that all may live in harmony. We remember our own country and the recent changes that have taken place in government, and ask for honesty and integrity in all dealings. We ask that as a country, we may work together to support and help each other through these difficult times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Caring Father, we give thanks for our homes, our families and our friends. As this summer season begins with schools closing, we ask for your blessing on all who travel on holiday. May they be safe and return well rested. We give thanks for the work of all teachers and lecturers and ask that you would give them this time to rest and recharge for the new academic year. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are unwell this day, in body, mind, or spirit. Surround them with your love, and may they feel your healing touch. Strengthen and give patience to all who care for them. And today especially, we remember our sister, Judith Broughton. And in a moment's silence, we bring before God all those known personally to us. Lord, you know each one that we have named. Bring healing and peace to them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Resting Father, we give thanks for those who are at rest in you, who have found new peace and new life. Today we pray for Joan Anderson and Alan Congleton. Comfort their family and friends in the days and weeks ahead. We give thanks for the saints and pray that our loved ones departed may share with them in that glory which is everlasting. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, you taught your disciples to pray. Among the busyness and bustle of the world, make us still and attentive to your presence. Keep our ears open to your call. Keep our hearts open to your love. Make our minds sensitive to your coming. And allow each one of us this week to spend time with you in prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.